You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Harry Douglas dancing as we bring in ESPN sports betting analyst Aaron Dolan, Philadelphia's own. And so Harry insisted, Aaron, that we bring you in with some Meek. How you feeling? Did this get you hype? You ready to go?
Oh, my gosh. It gets me so hyped. When I was recently out in Vegas for Daily Wager, I said on air, I was like, I can't believe I didn't walk out the dreams and nightmares. I actually worked out to that song today, so I'm all for it.
Look at this. We're gonna turn this into a thing. In fact, I'm suddenly deciding that everybody at ESPN should get our own like WWE style walk in song. Like, we'll figure out what that would look like. We have you on, Aaron, because we need your expertise, especially me. Like, look, everything I've done so far in the NBA playoffs has turned out to be the exact wrong thing. I'm the first to admit it. Like, every bet I've placed, the next day I come in and say, "Whoops, my bad." So, where are you seeing the money and the tickets come in for Game 6 so far?
Well, first of all, you're not wrong. In terms of betting, this has been so, so difficult. I would say out of all the sports, this series in particular, usually I'm like hitting things left and right. It's been so hard to predict. But in terms of where we're seeing money and tickets come in on Caesars Sportsbook right now, the Celtics hold 53% of the tickets, 68% of the money in terms of covering. Then on the money line, we're seeing 74% of the tickets on the Warriors, Celtics holding 54% of the money, and then more money and tickets are coming in on the over for the game total. But here's some other interesting things that I'd ask users for. One of the most famous bets is going to be that third quarter spread for the Golden State Warriors. Everybody knows they're such a good third quarter team. They're seeing 97% of the money on that bet, which is pretty wild. And then after game five for the series betting, when the Celtics moved to plus 310, great money came in. 92% of the money came pouring in on the Boston Celtics. So clearly people are still thinking there's a shot there, or maybe they just feel that there is value at taking the Celtics to plus 310, because obviously they wouldn't be able to get that number again if they do win this game six. And then in terms of popular prop bets for tonight, Wiggins double-double, people are loving that. Tatum triple-double, Smart over points, and then by money, those were all by tickets. By money, Curry double-double, no. Jaylen Brown double-double, no. Robert Williams over points, rebounds, and assists. And both tickets and money coming in on Draymond Green to hit over par for tonight. So those are some fun bets that you're seeing people really take some action on.
Aaron, this is a very, very important Game 6 in the NBA Finals. Game 6 in a playoff setting with the Warriors involved, normally known as Game 6 Clay. Klay Thompson Game 6. That's what we know it as. But other than that, what play do you like in terms of the side and the total?
So in terms of the side and the total, I'm staying away from both of them because, like you had said, you're placing these bets and you can't seem to hit anything. This series just continues to zigzag. But the one thing I do like is the Celtics first half spread. It's currently minus 3, which a lot of people might think, okay, that's super high for a first half spread considering the game spread's minus 3.5. But the only way to beat the Golden State Warriors is to jump out on them. The teams in the previous series that did grab one went off the Warriors. That's exactly what they did. Boston's also 4-1 against the spread in the first half this series, but the only loss being in that game 5. So they are typically good in the first half of games, so the Warriors take a little bit of time to warm up. We know they're great in that third quarter, and they're better at closing out games than the Boston Celtics. So the only side I'd really want to play would be that Celtics first half.
We're talking to Aaron Dolan, ESPN sports betting analyst. Follow her on Twitter, at Aaron Kate Dolan. As we get you caught up on everything you need to know for Game 6, don't forget the NBA Finals ESPN Radio tonight. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz filling in for the guys. And when we start talking about player props, what player props stand out to you, Aaron, for the Celtics?
For the Celtics, I'm going Tatum over 3.5 made threes. And I know that's a little confusing for people considering he's only averaging 23 points so far in the series. He's only hit over his points prop once in 5 games. Do not bet that. But in terms of his made threes, he's actually hit over 3.5 in 3 of 5 games, which really stands out. And also in elimination games this postseason, which is only 3 games, he's averaging 32 points and 52% shooting from free. So I do like him to go over his made threes tonight. Also another one, this is going to be my best bet for tonight. I'll give it out early here on the radio. Marcus Smart over 20.5 points and rebounds. Combine those two, He's hit over this in 4 of 5. The only time he didn't hit it was in that game 2 when he played 25 minutes, and they basically sat their starters towards that end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter. When he's locked in defensively, he's always better offensively, and I expect the Stars tonight for the Celtics to not miss any game time whatsoever. I mean, it's do or die situation for them. They're not going to sit a player like Marcus Smart. So I do think he'll get over 20.5 points and rebounds, and that's also at plus money right now on Caesars Sportsbook.
You look across the way for the Warriors. What player props stand out to you for them?
Well, I think Wiggins is going to be a big one tonight, as well as Klay Thompson, but I'm still looking at Steph Curry over 28.5 points. And usually, I typically am not somebody who goes on shows and says, look at the Stars and take their overs. But, I mean, Steph Curry is Steph Curry. He's going to have a bounce back game. He's on pace to be the third guard to average 30 points in multiple NBA finals. The other two guards that did that were Jerry West and Michael Jordan, which is pretty wild. Obviously, he wasn't great from 3 last game, 0 for 9, not something that we see typically, considering that was the first time he failed to hit a 3-pointer in 233 games. There's really no way to limit Steph Curry, and I don't think the last game, that game 5, the Celtics found a way to limit him. I think he just offensively just didn't have it that game. Tonight, in a situation where he could potentially win the NBA Finals again, I think he's most likely going to go off, and he takes the most shots by far out of anybody on his team.
Aaron, we appreciate you hanging out with us. We love your expertise. Enjoy a beautiful, like you say, you're in Vegas, and all I think is I'm jealous. So enjoy a fantastic day.
Last week I was not in Vegas anymore. I'm back on the East Coast, the best coast. Vegas is a little much.
He got his
East
hopes
Coast,
up, Aaron.
East Coast, no.
Tell him
no.
You better believe it. You said no, it right, no, Aaron. East no, Coast. No, no. East Coast, he, down south, this side of the of the country. We're not worried about no West Coast and that Vegas stuff. Fitz, get out of here.
One of us on this show was born and raised in Vegas, all right? So I'm going to say West Coast, Best Coast all day, every day. Aaron, thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Love the intro, too. Let's keep that going.
Oh, look at that. East Coast, Best Coast. Well, we're going to have so many arguments about that. But we can't argue about free stuff. Want a chance to win some cash just by tuning in to Game 6? All you got to do is listen to the NBA Finals on ESPN Radio tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, for the chance to win $6,000. Again, $6,000. Listen to the NBA Finals on ESPN Radio tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Like, that's, you know, that's fun money for Harry Douglas when he played in the NFL. But for the rest of us, I mean, Harry's looking at 6K and he's like, I don't know. That's what I spend on asparagus as my side with my well done steak. You know, that's a, if you're
bro,
Harry,
if you keep telling the audience that I like well done, I am going to fight you when I see you. I swear.
Oh, I will not win that fight. I will never win that fight. I would never fight with Harry Douglas if I could hug him. I'd
We're
rather
brothers.
Do that.
You know, no, we don't fight.
We're going to keep getting you caught up on what you need to know for Game 6 because we're going to have a Steph Curry legacy conversation. But before you roll your eyes, before you say, oh, I've heard it. Nope, this one's different than any you've heard all week. I promise you that. We'll do it next. Canny and Carlin, Jason Fitz, Harry Douglas, and for the guys on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's Kenny and Carlin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. God, if you could only see the way we look right now. I'm glad we're not on TV today. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. Harry Douglas looking cool at everything he does. Like, Harry's bopping around with all this rhythm, looking awesome. I look as stiff, middle-aged, and white as humanly possible on that. So I've managed to accomplish all of that. Harry and I hanging out in for the guys, getting you caught up on everything you need to know, especially getting you ready for the NBA Finals. Game 6 of the NBA Finals is a hot ticket. Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Visit Seat Rewards. Vivid Seat Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. It'll be happening live tonight, and a lot of conversation will be about what Steph does or doesn't do. And Harry, I have rolled my eyes so much this week about legacy and the concept of legacy for Steph. And part of the conversation that has happened on a lot of our TV shows and radio shows has been, if Steph wins the NBA Finals MVP, what will this do? Will this make him a top 10 player? Will it make him whatever? Now, all of these different, you know, where's it put him in the lexicon of history? Harry, here's what I keep thinking about. To me, when you talk about legacy, I don't give a damn about championships. I don't care about win-loss record. I care about, did you change the game? And when you talk about Steph, at the end of the day, people play. Now, I'm not just talking about the NBA. The NBA is different. We know that. Women's basketball is different. I talked to Caitlin Clark from Iowa on one of our game day shows after one of their wins, and I asked her where her range was, and she said, man, I learned from Steph. My range is anywhere I'm open on the court. You think about the impact of women's basketball. You think about the impact to pickup basketball, like the shots that you used to look at your buddy and be like, no, you don't get to take that shot. That's now a normal shot because we've all watched Steph play. The legacy conversation has gotten twisted into where you belong in a top 10 when the real measure of legacy is the game changed forever? And the answer to that is clearly yes. And knowing that answer, there is no doubt in my mind that Steph Curry, legacy-wise, is a top 3 player in the history of the NBA because for generations, they will play different.
Look at Deacon Fitz giving us that heck of a sermon, Deke.
Going to church.
Now,
woo!
You need to, well, do we get communion now? Are you going to pass out communion?
I ain't giving out no free crackers. Like, no, you got to pay for everything. I mean, I would kind of like a choir in the back doing like the offbeat clap and like, hallelujah. We could do that.
That was a black hallelujah.
Thank you so much.
Nah, but see, on a serious note, when you look at a guy like Steph Curry, who has transcended the game, and now you think about NBA, you think about basketball, right? Steph Curry is a guy that you basically want to pick up full court or as soon as he crosses half court because he can hit it from 38 feet. He can hit it from 36 feet. He is that guy. And now you're seeing a guy like Jordan Poole, his young protege, hitting shots from deep like that, and Steph Curry is just smiling because he's like he's the big brother that taught the little brother how to do these things or how to practice these shots. And you see videos of those two guys practicing those kind of shots in practice, right? But my brother had an opportunity to play with Steph Curry and Klay and all those guys, Steph Curry, Klay, and Draymond. And one of the things that he told me over and over again is that, and he was a shooter too, so he shot with those guys over and over again, is that Steph Curry and the repetition and the way he shoots the basketball and practice shooting the basketball, when he's in the game, it's really so effortless because he's done it so many times outside of the actual game. So when you rep something so much, it becomes muscle memory. And that's the message I want to send to a lot of fathers and mothers out there right now, and even brothers and sisters who have kids coming up. You have to rep these things. You have to practice these things. It's not by mistake that Steph Curry is out here scoring 43 points and 30-plus points and shooting 7 for 14 from the three-point line, but all the threes aren't just at the line. They're from different areas on the basketball court. Notice I said different areas on the basketball court. It's because he practiced those things, and practice makes perfect. But from a legacy standpoint, now I'll be honest with you. Like, when a lot of people say top 10, do I agree with the top 10? Do I think he should be in the top 10 right now? No, I don't. Even if he does win Finals MVP. Now, if he comes next year and wins the NBA title again or another one after this one, then you have to throw him in there. Because I watched First Take the other day, and Stephen A. asked Shaq, And Shaq actually said that Steph Curry is a top 10 player in his eyes. So somebody asked Shaq, so who are you taking out? And Shaq didn't say anything. He couldn't name anyone. But to your point, we do have to stop discrediting Steph Curry and his greatness by asking, is he a top 10 player, when he has transcended the way people shoot the basketball and want to learn how to shoot the basketball. Those shots you talking about, I remember a time playing basketball in high school and AAU, and if somebody shot a shot like that, you want to know what the coach would do? Go get his ass. Come on over here and sit by me, son. But not anymore, because that's the way Steph Curry has transcended the game to where you're learning and you're practicing shots like that. But legacy is important. But people who has altered and changed the game, I do think Steph Curry is up there in the top three when it comes to that. I really do believe that.
And that, to me, is how I, in so many ways, define legacy. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz in on Kenny and Carlin on ESPN Radio. You know, for me, when I think about the top 10 conversation, the problem with this, let's be real for a second. Many of us that are having these top 10 debates, myself included, like, how would I know about NBA players from the 50s and 60s with any real context, right? Like, your parents can talk to you about it. Like, maybe you grew
ask
up
Mad
watching
Dog.
It.
Go ask Mad Dog. Yeah. You know, Mad Dog knows.
You know, and then
I can tell you everything you need to know, Jason. Just come talk to me, and I'll let you know what happened in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and the 70s, and even the 80s. If you need the 80s, I'll let you know the 80s as well.
I was having the conversation with some of our guys off air after my debate with Jay Will last week about who has more talent, Chris Brown or Michael Jackson. And without getting back into that debate, one thing that I thought was key from it was talking to some of the guys about that look at Chris Brown and they're like, oh my God, he's such a better dancer. And I said, the only thing you may not understand to that is what dance was like in Michael Jackson's era and why what he did, which may not look as impressive to you now, was so mind-blowing then. That's a level of context, no matter how much you watch on YouTube, you simply can't gain. So the top 10 conversation to me is always going to be wasted because generationally there's never a real answer. It is the grown-up sports bar equivalent of my dad can beat up your dad. I can't answer whether or not he's a top 10 player because I didn't watch the guys in the 50s with any context. I can't answer this. Has basketball changed forever because of the play of Steph Curry? And the answer to that is not just yes, it's hell yes. And when that is the answer to your career, then that speaks to the legacy you have. Because for generations, even if kids don't know why the game is different, the game will be different. Speaking of different, Justin Fields gave us a different answer about how ready he is to play right now. How concerned should Bears fans be? We'll ask our next guest that and more. It's Kenny and Carlin with Harry Douglas and Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
It's Kenny and Carlin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80.
With the love,
Harry Douglas,
doctor.
Jason Fitz filling in.
With the love, doctor.
It just felt like it felt like
the love,
more,
doctor.
I was trying to give something a little more.
The
little
love,
less,
doctor.
Little
doctor number one. Love, doctor, just number two. So tell me, Fitz, what do you really want to do? Take
I
it away.
I want to tell everybody that ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. America, I'm sorry I did this. Like, this is my fault. Like, I know not to give Harry Douglas this much free reign, and that's exactly what I just did. I unleashed the beast, and once you've unleashed the beast, I don't know how you put it back in the cage. We'll try and figure it out. We'll get back to everything we need to know about Game 6 of the NBA Finals. You guys are fired up on Twitter, too, about some of what we had to say on Steph, so we'll be sure to respond to that. We'll do that in a minute. But before we get to any of that, got some NFL news to break down as we inch closer and closer to what I think is going to be the most exciting season in a decade, mostly because my beloved Raiders aren't going to suck. So as we get some insight on what to expect this season, let's head over now where we're joined by ESPN NFL reporter Diana Rossini. Diana, always appreciate you hanging out with us. I know Bears fans are a little bit concerned at this point, and they're concerned because of what Justin Fields had to say. This is from his press conference. I want you to hear it when he was asked about whether or not he's ready for the start of the season.
No. Not ready for the season to start. You know, I'm the type of guy to, you know, like to know that I'm prepared. So right now, I'm just being honest, we're not ready to play a game right now. So and when that time comes, we will be ready. So right now, no, I'm not ready to play.
Now, Diana, I know why you and I would say that when it comes to covering the season, but I'll ask you, should Bears fans be concerned with Fields' answer?
No, not at all. In fact, he's my favorite quarterback right now in the league just based on his low expectation intelligence. The thing that I think so many fans don't get is, you know, all these quotes that you're hearing, and, you know, you're hearing this quarterback looks great and this one was terrific. And some of that is true, but all you're doing is setting your team up and your spirits for disappointment here, because they're in shorts right now. And, you know, right now, this time of year is about just the bread and butter install, getting out of camp healthy, and that's it. And he just said what the reality is. And it's what more players should be saying, in my opinion. Even today, I saw Arthur Smith talking about his rookie quarterback, and there was just tons of glowing things and he had to say about his intelligence and his ability. And I reached out to some people in Atlanta trying to figure out what's going on there, because that's not really coach's style to share that much. And I got an answer immediately from someone who was like, oh, no, they're just trying to keep that a competition down there. So back to Fields. Look, if I'm a Bears fan, I'm psyched. I'm like, at least he's realistic and our expectations can stay at a normal level. Unlike you see these other teams, like down in Miami, where these guys better win the Super Bowl based on the quotes I'm seeing.
And Diana, I can actually speak to that because I'm doing the Bill Walsh internship with Atlanta Falcons. So I've been up there just about every day I'm not working at ESPN doing that internship and coaching. And Desmond Ridder has been great, him and Marcus both. And I think those guys complement one another. But I think when you have a friendly competition, it's going to bring out the best in both guys. But Desmond Ridder being a young guy coming in, being vocal, and the things that he's doing off the field as well to get the young guys up to speed and making sure they know their information has been tremendous to watch, being a former player at the wide receiver position and the chemistry that him and Drake have, and Drake has chemistry with Marcus Mariota as well. So I think overall, I think it's successful for Atlanta because you have two guys, and one guy who's played with Arthur Smith and then another guy that was drafted by Arthur Smith. They're doing it together, but they're in competition, but it's a healthy competition.
Yeah, but first of all, congrats on the Bill Walsh Diversity Coaching Fellowship that you're doing. That's so cool, and I'd love to talk to you offline about how it's going. I just think it's such a great opportunity, and the fact that you get to be around that organization, I really like them from ownership down. I just think that they're top notch. But that being said, don't you understand what I'm trying to say, though, about how you're basically describing the way you are, the way camp's going with the Jets? And the first thing that stood out to me from Coach Sala was how much he downplayed so much of what they were doing. And then when I went out there and watched them in 7-on-7 and red zone, and granted, again, they're in shorts, that looks good. He is improved. I forgot that pick from Sala at all. It was like, we're young, we got young receivers, we got young backs, we got a lot of growth. I just think that's a really good approach, especially heading into the football.
we're losing Diana. I think we had Diana. Devin's going to try and get her back. We'll see if we can get Devin, producer extraordinaire, going to see if he can get Diana back. We were all looking at each other trying to make it out because she's giving great things. By the way, Harry, congratulations. There is nobody that I work with that amazes me more constantly than Harry Douglas. And I've gotten in my feels on air talking about the Hall of Fame that you are so rightfully a part of in college football in Louisville and all the things that you've been acknowledged for over the last few years. But the thing that Harry Douglas should be acknowledged for the most, as I continue to just like wax philosophical about Harry Douglas, is your work ethic. Like, when you live in the 1%, you got to outwork everybody else, and you just got to keep outworking everybody else, and you do that constantly, man. I'm really proud of you for getting into that internship, but you don't want to be a coach, man. Like, you're too fun to watch. If you become a coach, if I have to call you Coach Douglas,
just,
you're going to start
everybody just
me,
relax. Okay,
I
listen.
Mean, you're going to give me, like, coach speak answers?
I am 100% invested into my media career. It's going mm-hmm. great. Being able to do the internship has been good because you get to see a lot of different things, plus I'm back in football and get that one-on-ones with guys too. Like, that's been amazing. You know, once
okay,
you're a player,
shut up. Now we don't
okay,
want to hear
Diana.
Any more about
we need
it.
Diana because I want to hear about care. The Jets. I
yeah,
want to hear
Diana,
about the Jets.
Tell us about the Jets. We're tired of talking about Harry. Diana, you were talking about the Jets.
I was going back to Dr. Love. Actually, I was just thinking. Do you guys remember when you would call your boyfriends or girlfriends on a landline? I miss landlines. I want to bring them back.
Facts.
But back to the Jets, you know, they got a young receiving core, young backs, and Zach Wilson's definitely improved. But the overall takeaway from camp, and I was even able to talk to Saleh after practice as well to try to get some you know, bullet points to talk about with you guys and on the other shows, you know, and I asked him straight up, like, you know, tell me what you're seeing from Zach right now. He's like, I don't need him to be Tom Brady. I don't. I just need him to improve and get better in all these different areas. And he's already shown maturity and growth, and it's just June. He's like, and it just has to continue over the next few weeks. And you guys probably have heard tons of stories like this where guys will look great during mini camps and OTAs, and then they don't stick with it over the summer, and they come back different guys for training camp. And it's like, what happened, man? We're on the right track. You know, and that's always concerns coaches have when it comes to players staying in shape and staying locked in. But the Jets seem to be really lowering those expectations, and who knows, maybe that's the style that they want to go with, hoping that they can come out winning 7-8 games this year.
There now, are Diana, huge. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, from one quarterback to another one, I got to talk about Lamar Jackson because he's been a topic this entire offseason. He's also a guy, when you look at Deshaun Watson getting $230 million guaranteed, he's looking forward to a new contract as well. So where are we in terms of Lamar Jackson's contract status?
So I feel like both sides have done an incredible job of just keeping everything close to the vest there and not really talking to too many reporters about it. And, you know, today I thought it was gigantic news that Lamar even spoke because they don't have to do that. And, you know, he was pretty transparent about where they're at, which is, you know, they just started having conversations, that being him. You know, he's representing himself, as you guys know, with the GM, Eric DaCosta. They just started talking. So I think for Ravens fans, this is a great first step because up until this week, I had heard they were just waiting for Lamar. Like, it was just, yeah, we would love to share with you how negotiations are going. Well, we don't even know where they stand because he won't talk with us. And some of this is, I think, you know, his thought process in this has been he's focused on football, but I also think he's looking at it as a leverage play. You know, and I've been getting asked all day, do I think week one Lamar Jackson is going to be the highest paid quarterback in football? Right? Because you have to think that's what he's waiting out for. If I'm Lamar, I'm looking at Deshaun Watson's deal saying, just give me that and we'll call it a day and I'll sign. But I don't necessarily believe that that's going to be the case. You guys heard, and I think I've spoken to you guys about this, how annoyed teams were at the Browns for giving Watson that deal because of this. Now you're talking about a player looking to make that kind of money. You know, if you told me that Lamar was going to make $50 million a year, let's say, like we saw Aaron Rodgers, I'd be really surprised. I think it's going to be more in the mid-40s, but if I'm Lamar, I'm going after every dollar I can get, knowing how much he does for that team, because he pretty much does it all.
Yeah, so much great information there. Follow her on Twitter at DianaESPN. As always, thank you for your insight, my friend. Try and enjoy a little downtime this summer, but we can't wait to get to football season so we can hang out even more.
I cannot wait. Go Raiders. Happy Father's Day, boys. I love being with you.
Thank you, Diana. Oh, she's just buttering me up right there with the Go Raiders. But it is going to be a good. Oh, I'm going to be insufferable all across every ESPN platform.
I forgot to ask Diana this. She's supposed to be making me a meatball sub. I haven't got that meatball sub yet. I got to let her know I'll be up in New York soon. I've been up in New York a lot, so I need that meatball sub.
Like, was she just like, mail you a meatball
sub? So Chris Carlin and Bubba can leave me alone because they talk about me every time. They pick on me. They try to bully me because I haven't had a meatball sub. I say, it's a damn meatball sub. Why are y'all so amped up about a meatball sub? We need you to have a meatball sub, Harry.
Look,
I got to get a meatball sub.
I've seen Bubba and Carlin both. If they are bullying a former NFL wide receiver, whew, I don't know, things have gone wrong. I'm about to bully a former NFL wide receiver because he's got a take on one quarterback that I cannot believe and I did not expect. You'll hear a bold prediction next. Canny and Carlin, Jason Fitz, Harry Douglas on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Fill in.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Harry, I don't know if you saw this on Sunday. Shaquille O'Neal reportedly paid the dinner bill for over 40 tables and bought dinner for the entire server team at a fancy New York place, according to Page Six. The total for his bill was well over $25,000 and included an extremely generous gratuity for the servers that was, quote, the biggest tip they've ever received. So, obviously, knowing that you played in the NFL, you got any wild bill stories where you looked at it and said,
Of course I do. But I gotta give credit to Shaq because this is not his first time doing this. He does kind of acts like this on numerous of occasions. And it's just a testament that when you grind and work hard, you're rewarded. And when you're rewarded, you continue to invest in your community and bless others who might not be able to do for themselves. Or even if they still are able to do for themselves, you know you have it and you know you have it in a lot of ways, so you just shared that love and that light. So I wanted to give a shout-out to Shaq. My rookie year, Fitz, with the Atlanta Falcons, we're playing in the playoffs. We're at Arizona, playing the Cardinals. The entire offense goes to Cheesecake Factory. So we're all at dinner, we're eating, and everyone's getting up, acting like they're looking at cheesecake. And I'm like, why in the hell is everybody getting up to ask for cheesecake, and they can just order cheesecake right here at the seat? So I proceed to get up. Roddy White tells me, literally, sit your ass down. You're not going anywhere. So I had to sit back down because I'm a rook and I couldn't go anywhere. He's like, you're paying for the dinner. I was like, whoa. So only thing in my mind is that, okay, I hope my card does not decline, right? Because it's my rookie year. I'm not spending much. I'm frugal. Hell, I'm frugal now. I don't want to spend this money. But I had to spend the money, and I'm not going to tell you how much it was, but it was a lot of money. Just imagine their entire offense and offensive lineman. They eat a lot of money. Gojo, hey, he's a former offensive lineman. He eats a lot. Just imagine 10 people times Gojo.
I need to know what it is with football players in Cheesecake Factory. Vince Young is sort of famous for his, what, $5,000 a week, they said, Cheesecake Factory habit. So, like, I don't know. There's something about Cheesecake Factory. I will say the worst example for me is a more recent one. It was in Indy for the national championship game that we were all at covering for college football. And, you know, the Raiders were playing the Chargers last game of the season, chance to go to the playoffs. And one of the coolest moments of my entire life, honestly, like the game starts, I look around and I've got a handful of buddies. And by the end of the game, the bar is filled with everybody we love from ESPN, all of our friends hanging out. When the Raiders win the game at the end, they're chanting my name in the bar. I'm jumping up and down. I never have said this before in my life, but I turned around at one point and I said, round of shots for everybody. And it was like 22 tequila shots. I go up to pay the bill. And I'm like, they've been so nice and everything. And then I look down and I see the bill is over $1,000. And, like, you know, I am equally, like, just equally, oh, my God. So there we go. It's Kenny and Carlin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Getting you ready for the NBA Finals on ESPN Radio. Tune in Game 6 tonight. Celtics host the Warriors. 8 p.m. Eastern. Coverage begins on most ESPN radio stations. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz filling in for the guys. Really, it's Jason Fitz and a guy who's lost his damn mind. Because as we were getting ready for the show today, we're just having this little, you know, cute conversation. I'm looking at the helmets online that they released for the Saints.
You let me say it, though. You let me say the take. You let me say it.
I'm looking at the helmets for one particular team that were released online, and Harry Douglas, I was like, Harry, have you seen the Saints helmets? That's all I said innocently, to which he said this.
Oh, ugly helmets. Those old ugly helmets. But then I also said this, though. I believe their quarterback, Jameis Winston, is going to throw for between 4,000 and 4,500 yards this season. But let me tell you why, though.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at this offense, you look at a back like you that they have in Alvin Kamara. He's not just a runner. He is a hell of a receiver out of the backfield. And they're going to find multiple ways to get him that football, catching it out of the backfield. You look at Michael Thomas coming back. Not to mention you drafted in the first round and moved up to go draft a Chris Olave from Ohio State, who's going to be a deep threat for them. And then you brought in a Jarvis Landry in free agency. Then you still have Marquez Callaway and then Adam Trautman at the tight end position. That says to me that Jameis Winston is going to throw for 4,000 and 4,500 yards between those two numbers. And let's not act like he hasn't done it before, right? Two times already in his career, he has passed for over 4,000 yards. One time in his career, he's passed for over 5,100 yards and 33 touchdowns. Now, he had 30 interceptions to go with that, but I'm going to say that low, okay? Just as long as he doesn't do it, week one. As long as he doesn't have a good week, week one. Or the second week they play the Falcons. We know who they play week one. They play the Falcons week one.
Oh, wow. It comes back to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So let's look at last year where the Saints finished 9-8. And I realize you're right. They have better weapons. The Saints offense last year ranked 19th in points and 28th in yards. All right. So let's just think about that for a second and then think about what the loss of Sean Payton means. And I know same voices.
No. I'm not gonna let you do this because they have a guy and does Sean Payton matter? He matters. But when you have a guy in Pete Carmichael who has been with them forever, and when Sean Payton went out and couldn't call plays, he called the plays. He's been around that offense and been within that offense for numerous of years. So it's not like they're switching the offense up. They may tailor little things here and there to Pete Carmichael's liking. But let's not act like we're talking about a guy that can't throw the football down the field. He can throw the football down the field.
Yeah, I mean, but you're also just like – forgiving the Dennis Allen was, and I'll speak to my own bias here, but Dennis Allen was awful as the Raiders coach, like awful as a head coach. Does that not matter when you're like,
it goes back to the Raiders? Look,
you've seen excellence, right? Harry Douglas has seen excellence all over the place, so you know what excellence looks like. I've seen trash. I've seen trash over and over and over again. I've seen trash for the majority of the last 20 years. It's rare that I don't see trash every Sunday. Every Sunday, I usually end the day by looking at my bottle and saying, why wasn't my dad a Packers fan? Like, that's my life. So I know bad football, and I saw a lot of it with the Raiders under Dennis Allen. So I just think there's a little bit of a, oh, well, he's going to get it right this time. And maybe.
Well, let's look at the proof that's in the pudding, though. Under Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator, they beat up on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. Right or wrong?
Yep.
Both years Tom Brady
and
has been
there. 9-8 season so this he's year, been, they sure did.
Yeah, but it wasn't because of the defense. It's because of the lackluster offense. And when you have a Jameis Winston get hurt, and then when you have poo-poo slups at the quarterback position trying to play quarterback, that's when you have a 9-8 season. If they would have had decent quarterback play, they would not have been 9-8. They would have won way more games than they won. The fact that they didn't have a reliable quarterback that they could rely on, that's what hurt them after Jameis got hurt. But that defense was stellar. And that defense, again, they have Cam Jordan, David Omiyala. They have Marcus Davenport. They have DeMario Davis. And then you look in the secondary at Marshawn Lattimore. They just brought over the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. They have guys defensively to potentially win the NFC South. Potentially. I said potentially. It's not like they suck. But last year, their problem was offensively. It wasn't defensively.
You would need Jameis to have the second best year of his career to establish the numbers you're talking about. And you'd need him to forgive his interception ratio, which is hot garbage. You have a lot more belief than I do. Of course, you played the game and I only play and I'm mad. And I'm just saying, we'll see how this plays out by the end of the year. I believe that one of us is going to be right. And it's not the staggeringly good looking one. All right. Next, we'll head to Boston. We'll get you set for game 6 of the NBA Finals. It's Canty and Carlin, Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz filling in on ESPN Radio.